ॐ गलजमनन्दस्य जनाजनासलकया चक्षुस्मिलितञ्जेन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः. श्रीचैतन्यमनुभीष्टं स्थपितं येन भूतले सायं रूपकदमहं दधति सा पदन्तिकम् वंशकपटुरुभ्यश्च कृपसिन्धुभैव च वदितनं भवनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः. Now, Bharat Maharaj, the son of Rishabdev Maharaj, who was the son of Nabi Maharaj, who was the son of Agnidra Maharaj, who was the son of Priyavrata Maharaj, who was the son of Uttanapad. Yes. Son of Swayambhuva Manu, who was the son of Lord Brahma. And who is Lord Brahma the son of? Who is Lord Brahma the son of? And who's his mata? Who's his mother? Yes. He is Aja. He is without any mother, just conceived from the Lord himself. How wonderful. So Bharat Maharaj, after ruling the kingdom for so many thousands of years, he left and renounced and went to the Gandaki River, Pulaha Ashram. The Gandaki River is famous because that is where the Shalagram Shilas, these wonderful stones that are no different from the Lord, that are the Lord, they come from the Gandaki River. So one day, Bharat Maharaj was completely satisfied there, heart so peaceful, experiencing ecstasy. Now what I'm going to do is read the whole chapter, the verses through. It's quite dramatic. And then we'll read some of Prabhupada's purports. Prabhupada's purports in this chapter tend to be short, but very, very instructive for devotees. So Sukadeva Goswami continued narrating this pastime of Bharat Maharaj to Pariket Maharaj. So he said, "My dear king, one day, after finishing his morning duties, evacuating, urinating, and bathing, Maharaj Bharat sat down on the bank of the river Gandaki for a few minutes and began to chant his mantra, beginning with Omkar. O King," he said to Pariket Maharaj, "while Bharat Maharaj was sitting on the bank of that river, a doe, being very thirsty, came there to drink. While the doe is drinking with great satisfaction, a lion, which was very close, roared very loudly. This was frightful to every living entity, and it was heard, the lion's roar was heard by the doe. By nature, the doe was always afraid of being killed by others, and it was always looking about suspiciously. When it heard the lion's tumultuous roar, it became very agitated, looking here and there with disturbed eyes. The doe, although it had not fully satisfied itself by drinking water, suddenly leapt across the river. The doe was pregnant, and when it jumped out of fear, the baby deer fell from its womb into the flowing waters of the river. Being separated from its flock and distressed by its miscarriage, the black doe, having crossed the river, was very much distressed. Indeed, it fell down in a cave and died immediately. The great king Bharat, while sitting on the bank of the river, saw the small deer, bereft of its mother, floating down the river. Seeing this, he felt great compassion. Like a sincere friend, he lifted the infant deer from the waves and, knowing it to be motherless, brought it to his ashram. Gradually, just imagine the situation. First of all, Bharat Maharaj was a warrior, Kshatriya. And what is the nature of a Kshatriya? He gives protection. His whole mood, the Kshatriya's mood, is that all the citizens are like my own children. And if someone tries to harm them, I will protect them by any means. And then again, this deer with its soft eyes, big, sometimes we even, and then Srimati Radharani's beautiful eyes compared to the eyes of a doe. Because they're very, very soft and beautiful. Because the doe is a defenseless creature, basically. It's defenseless. And there, this baby just born, though the fawn, was completely helpless. It didn't even have its mother's protection. And it was just newborn. And it was floating down the river, and there the Kshatriya saw it. Now what could he do? The cold waters. What would happen if he just ignored it? It would certainly die. So, naturally, Bharat Maharaj became very affectionate towards the deer. He began to raise it and maintain it by giving it grass. He was always careful to protect it from the attacks of tigers and other animals. When it itched, he petted it. And in this way, he always tried to keep it in a comfortable position. So helpless. He sometimes kissed it out of love. Being attached to raising the deer, Bharat forgot the rules and regulations for the advancement of spiritual life. And he gradually forgot to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. After a few days, he forgot everything about his spiritual advancement. The great king, Maharaj Bharat, began to think, "Alas, this helpless young deer, by the force of time, an agent of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, has now lost its relatives and friends and has taken shelter of me. It does not know anyone but me, as I have become its father, mother, brother, and relatives. This deer is thinking in this way, and it has full faith in me. It does not know anyone but me. Therefore, I should not be envious and think that for the deer my own welfare will be destroyed. I should certainly raise, protect, gratify, and fondle it. When it has taken shelter with me, how can I neglect it? Even though the deer is disturbing my spiritual life, I realize that a helpless person who has taken shelter cannot be neglected. That would be a great fault. Even though one is in the renounced order, one who is advanced certainly feels compassion for suffering living entities. One should certainly neglect his own personal interests, although they may be very important to protect one who has surrendered." This is what compassion means. One has to neglect what's good for oneself, possibly, to help another. Due to attachment for the deer, Maharaj Bharat laid down with it, walked about with it, bathed with it, and even ate with it. Thus his heart became bound to the deer in affection. When Maharaj Bharata wanted to enter the forest to collect kusha grass, flowers, wood, leaves, fruits, roots, and water, he would fear that dogs, jackals, tigers, and other ferocious animals might kill the deer. He would therefore always take the deer with him when entering the forest. When entering the forest, the animal would appear very attractive to Maharaj Bharata due to its foolish behavior. It was very young, frolicsome, jumping here and there, rubbing against this and that. Maharaj Bharat would even take the deer on his shoulders and carry it due to affection. His heart was so filled with great love for the deer that he would sometimes keep it on his lap or when sleeping on his chest. In this way he felt great pleasure in fondling the animal. When Maharaj Bharat was actually worshipping the Lord or was engaged in some ritualistic ceremony, even though his activities were unfinished, he would still at intervals get up and see where the deer was. In this way, he would look for it. And when he could see that the deer was comfortably situated, his mind and heart would be very satisfied. And he would bestow his blessings upon the deer, saying, "My dear calf, may you be happy in all respects." If Bharat Maharaj sometimes could not see the deer, his mind would be very agitated. He would become like a miser who, having obtained some riches, had lost them and then became very unhappy. When the deer was gone, he would be filled with anxiety and would lament due to separation. Thus, he would become illusioned and speak as follows. So this is what Bharat Maharaj would speak when he couldn't find the deer around. "Alas, the deer is now helpless. I am now very unfortunate, and my mind is like a cunning hunter, for it is always filled with cheating propensities and cruelty. The deer has put its faith in me, just as a good man who has a natural interest in good behavior forgets the misbehavior of a cunning friend and puts his faith in him. Although I have proved faithless, will this deer return and place its faith in me? Alas, is it possible that I shall again see this animal protected by the Lord and fearless of tigers and other animals? Shall I see him wandering in the garden eating soft grasses? Grass? I do not know, but the deer might have been eaten by a wolf or a dog or by the boars that flock together or the tiger who travels alone. Alas, when the sun rises, all auspicious things begin. Unfortunately, they have not begun for me. The sun god in the Vedas is the Vedas personified, but I am bereft of all Vedic principles. That sun god is now setting, yet the poor animal who has trusted in me since its mother died has not returned. The deer is exactly like a prince. When will it return? When will it again display its personal activities which are so pleasing? When will it again pacify a wounded heart like mine? I certainly must have no pious assets, otherwise the deer would have returned by now. Alas, the small deer, while playing with me and seeing me faking meditation with closed eyes, would circumambulate me due to anger arising from love, and it would fearfully touch me with the points of its soft horns, which felt like drops of water. When I placed all the sacrificial ingredients on the kusa grass, the deer, when playing, would touch the grass with its teeth, thus polluting it. When I chastised the deer by pushing it away, it would immediately become fearful and sit down motionless, exactly like the son of a saintly person. Thus it would stop its play. After speaking like a madman in this way, Maharaj Bharata got up and went outside. Seeing the footprints on the deer, of the deer on the ground, he praised the footprints out of love, saying, "O unfortunate Bharat, your austerities and penances are very insignificant compared to the penances and austerities undergone by this earth planet. Due to the earth's severe penances, the footprints of this deer, which are small, beautiful, most auspicious and soft, are imprinted on the surface of this fortunate planet. This series of footprints show a person like me, who am bereaved due to loss of the deer, how the animal has passed through the forest, and how I can regain my lost wealth. By these footprints, this land has become a proper place for brahmanas who desire heavenly planets or liberation to execute sacrifices to the demigods." Because there's an injunction that Prabhupada mentions in the purport that the land where the black deer, the footprints of the black deer are, is very auspicious land. It's suitable for executing religious principles. So he's saying this is... So he's thinking how fortunate this land is. Maharaj Bharat continued to speak like a madman. Seeing above his head the dark marks on the rising moon, which resembled a deer, he said, "Can it be that the moon, who is so kind to an unhappy man, might also be kind upon my deer, knowing that it has strayed from home and has become motherless? This moon has given the deer shelter near itself just to protect it from the fearful attacks of a lion." After perceiving the moonshine, Maharaj Bharat continued to speak like a crazy person. He said, "The deer's son was so submissive and dear to me that due to its separation, I am feeling separation from my own son. Due to the burning fever of this separation, I am suffering as if inflamed by a forest fire. My heart, which is like the lily of the land, is now burning. Seeing me so distressed, the moon is certainly splashing its shining nectar upon me, just as a friend throws water on another friend who has a high fever. In this way, the moon is bringing me happiness." Sukadev Goswami continued, "My dear king," speaking to Maharaj Prickett, "in this way, Bharata Maharaj was overwhelmed by an uncontrollable desire that was manifest in the form of the deer. Due to the fruitive results of his past deeds, he fell down from mystic yoga, austerity, and worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If it were not due to his past fruitive activity, how could he have been attracted to the deer after giving up the association of his own son and family, considering them stumbling blocks on the path of spiritual life? How could he show such uncontrollable affection for a deer? This was definitely due to his past karma. The king was so engrossed in petting and maintaining the deer that he fell down from his spiritual activities. In due course of time, insurmountable death, which is compared to a venomous snake that enters the hole created by a mouse, situated itself before him." So what happens, that the mouse lives in a hole, in a burrow, and when the snake sees the burrow, the hole created by the mouse, he slithers down. And what do snakes eat? They eat mice. And what can the mouse do? He has nowhere to go. So death is compared to the snake that enters the hole, and we are compared to the mouse. When death approaches us, we have nowhere to go. There is no escape exit. We cannot hide anywhere. We may become terrified, but that does not stop the approach of death. We have to face it. So death faced Bharat Maharaj. At the time of death, the king saw that the deer was sitting by his side, exactly like his own son. So as he was dying, the deer returned, and he was by him. And he was lamenting, the deer was lamenting Bharat Maharaj's death. Actually, the mind of the king was absorbed in the body of a deer, and consequently, like those bereft of Krishna consciousness, he left the world, he left the deer, he left his material body, and he acquired the body of a deer. However, there was one advantage. Although he lost his human body and received the body of a deer, he did not forget the incidents of his past life. So this was Krishna's special mercy upon him, because in one sense Bharat Maharaj was acting like a madman, the most foolish person, because he was simply attached to a deer, forgetting completely his spiritual realizations. But although he forgot his spiritual realizations, Krishna, the source of those spiritual realizations, did not forget him. So he gave him a very special gift, that although within the body of a deer, Bharat Maharaj could remember his previous lives. Of course, at that time he wasn't Bharat Maharaj. He was a deer. At that time he was not actually a deer. He was neither a deer nor Bharat Maharaj. He was a soul. But still having a subtle body, a mind, he was able to remember, a material mind, he was able to remember his previous life. He did not forget the incidents of his past life. This was a special benediction from the Lord to save him from further deterioration of consciousness. Prabhupada says in his purport, it is proved herein that due to the grace of the Supreme Lord, a devotee is never vanquished. Due to his willful neglect of devotional service, a devotee may be punished for a short time, but he again revives his devotional service and returns home back to Godhead. So continuing. So Bharat Maharaj was now in the body of a deer. Although in the body of a deer, Bharat Maharaj, due to his rigid devotional service in his past life, could understand the cause of his birth in that body. Considering his past and present life, he constantly repented his activities, speaking in the following way. He spoke to himself in this way. In the body of a deer, Bharat Maharaj began to lament. What misfortune! I have fallen from the path of the self-realized. I gave up my real son's wife at home to advance in spiritual life. And I took shelter in a solitary holy place in the forest. I became self-controlled and self-realized, and I engaged constantly in devotional service, hearing, thinking, chanting, worshipping, and remembering the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva. I was successful in my attempt, so much so that my mind was always absorbed in devotional service. However, due to my personal foolishness, my mind again became attached, this time to a deer. Now I have obtained the body of a deer and I have fallen far from my devotional practices. Although Bharat Maharaj received the body of a deer, by constant repentance he became completely detached from all material things. How could repentance make us detached? Yeah. What is the mood of repentance? Huh? One deprecates oneself. Now, remember in the last chapter we heard, and we heard this before too, that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, what advice did he give about dealing with the mind? Yeah, that will actually come out later, but what did he say specifically?
Peter.
And?
Bruce.
Yeah. I think this time he said broom in the morning and shoe at night. Now what does that mean? It means deprecating the mind, lamenting. Why am I so attached to this and this and this? I've missed so many opportunities this day. So many times I could have been thinking about Krishna. And instead, what was I thinking about? My selfish sense and enjoyment. Again my mind tricked me. Again and again and again. Who at the end of the day doesn't have at least 100 things to lament about the mind's activities? There's no one. And in the morning, you've done it to me all yesterday and the day before, and the day before that. Will you again cause me trouble? Will you again get me attached to things that are going to bring me misery? Nonsense mind, rascal mind. So what happens when we become strong with our mind? The mind becomes subdued, at least for some time. So 100 beatings a morning and 100 beatings in the evening keeps the mind subdued. So by lamenting in this way, Bharat Maharaj became completely detached from all material things. Now what do we tend to do instead of deprecating the mind and criticizing the mind and beating the mind? What do we tend to do? Namo mind, mind, my Lord, whatever you say, I am your humble servant each day, 24 hours a day. So this is, we worship the mind practically. And we identify fully with the mind. What does that mean, that we identify with the mind?
Yeah.
What does that mean, we are the mind?
We do what it says.
Yeah, when the mind, yeah.
Fully identify with the...
What does that mean?
As the mind oscillates, so do I. Because that's me.
Yeah, that's one way. Yeah, what else?
Takes it, it dictates as us.
Yeah, as if it was us. It's like if someone comes over to us and says, jump in front of this car. Go away, we don't. You're my enemy. You're trying to harm me. But if the mind told us to do that, we would do it. It tells us to do foolish things like that continuously all day long. Janiya shunya bishakainu. Knowingly, we know things are bad for us, but when the mind says it, to do something, to be attached to something, to be attracted to something, we don't have the power to neglect it very often. And instead, we just surrender. We think it's our self talking. The mind is so clever and tricky. It'll make something seem so important. We really, really need that. And so you become so excited. You identify with that mind's desire. And it pulls us around. Pulls us around anywhere. But then 2 minutes later, something may happen. And we completely forget about it. The importance is completely gone. Like sometimes with children. Not anyone's in particular. So we can't take this personally if we happen to be a child. A child, I want this, and you go, look at that over there, and they go, what? And then they completely forgot about what they want. This is the mind. The mind is just like that. So this is what it means to identify with the mind, and it's quite dangerous. So by deprecating the mind, neglecting the mind, by chastising the mind, by lamentation, the mind becomes weak and we become detached from those things Even though the mind is saying it's so important, we criticize being attached to it, and we become detached. So therefore, Bharat Maharaj, in the body of Adiya, by constant repentance, he became completely detached from all material things, and he became very determined to not make similar mistakes again. He did not disclose these things to anyone, but he left his mother dear in the place known as Kalanjara Mountain, where he was born, and he again went to the forest of Shalagram and to the ashram of Pulastya and Pulaha. Remaining in that ashram, the great King Bharat Maharaj was now very careful not to fall victim to bad association. Without disclosing his past to anyone, he remained in that ashram and ate dry leaves only. He was not exactly alone, for he had the association of the Supersoul. In this way, he waited for death in the body of a deer. Bathing in that holy place, he finally gave up that body. So that's the end of the chapter. Now we'll read some of Prabhupada's purports. Here is one. So, while the deer was floating down originally when Bharat Maharaj was meditating, he saw it, perceived that the deer was floating down the river, the little just born deer. So he picked it up, knowing it to be helpless, and he brought it to his ashram. Here's what Prabhupada said. The laws of nature work in subtle ways unknown to us. This is text 7. Maharaj Bharata was a great king, very advanced in devotional service. He had almost reached the point of loving service to the Supreme Lord. But even from that platform, he could fall down onto the material platform. In Bhagavad Gita, we are therefore warned, Yam hi navyatantyete purusha purushartapha. Sama dukkha sukham dhiram soma tatyaiva kalpate. O best amongst men, that's purusha, rishab means the best amongst men, purusha rishab, purusharshava. Sama dukkha sukham dhiram soma tatyaiva kalpate. O best amongst men. The person who is not disturbed by happiness and distress and is steady in both is certainly eligible for liberation. So Bharat Maharaj, he was fixed, but by the distress of the deer, he came out of his fixedness and became so entangled that he lost everything. So Prabhupada continues, spiritual salvation and liberation from material bondage must be worked out with great caution. Otherwise, a little discrepancy will cause one to fall down again into material existence. By studying the activities of Maharaj Bharata, we can learn the art of becoming completely freed from all material attachment. As it will be revealed in later verses, Bharat Maharaj had to accept the body of a deer due to being overly compassionate for the infant deer. We should be compassionate by raising one from the material platform to the spiritual platform, otherwise at any moment our spiritual advancement may be spoiled and we may fall down onto the material platform. Bharat Maharaj's compassion for the deer was the beginning of his fall down into the material world. Very heavy, because how could he not do it? But look at the result. Look at the result of doing what was natural, naturally protecting, being, giving full compassion and protection to the deer. Then Bharat Maharaj became so affectionate to the deer, and due to that great affection and caring for the deer, he forgot about his spiritual life. Prabhupada's purport. From this, we can understand how we have to be very cautious in executing our spiritual duties by observing the rules and regulations and regularly chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. If we neglect doing this, we will eventually fall down. We must rise early in the morning, bathe, attend Mangalarti, worship the deities, chant the Hare Krishna Mantra, study the Vedic literatures, and follow all the rules prescribed by the Acharyas and the spiritual master. If we deviate from this process, we may fall down, even though we may be very highly advanced. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Yajna dana tapa karma na tyajam karyameva tat yajna danam tapascheva pavanani manishinam. Acts of sacrifice, charity, and penance are not to be given up, but should be performed. Indeed, sacrifice, charity, and penance purify even the great soul. Even if one is in the renounced order, he should never give up the regulative principles. He should worship the deity and give his time and life to the service of Krishna. He should also continue following the rules and regulations of austerity and penance. These things cannot be given up. One should not think oneself very advanced simply because one has accepted the sannyas order. The activities of Bharat Maharaj should be carefully studied for one's spiritual advancement. Next purport. When Bharat Maharaj was criticizing that, how he said, if I give up taking care of this deer who has taken shelter of me, it will be a fault on my part. So Prabhupada's purport. When a person is advanced in spiritual consciousness or Krishna consciousness, he naturally becomes very sympathetic towards all living entities suffering in the material world. Naturally, such an advanced person thinks of the suffering of the people in general. However, if one does not know of the material sufferings of the fallen soul and becomes sympathetic because of bodily comforts, as in the case of Bharat Maharaj, such sympathy or compassion is the cause of one's downfall. If one actually is sympathetic to fallen suffering humanity, he should try to elevate people from material consciousness to spiritual consciousness. As far as the deer was concerned, Bharat Maharaj became very sympathetic, but he forgot that it was impossible for him to elevate a deer to spiritual consciousness, because after all, a deer is but an animal. It was very dangerous for Bharat Maharaj to sacrifice all his regulative principles simply to take care of an animal. The principles enunciated in Bhagavad Gita should be followed. Yam hi na vyatantyante purusham purushar sabha. As far as the material body is concerned, we cannot do anything for anyone. However, by the grace of Krishna, we may raise a person to spiritual consciousness if we ourselves follow the rules and regulations. If we give up our own spiritual activities and simply become concerned with the bodily comforts of others, we will fall into a dangerous position. Then Bharat Maharaj says, it's my duty to protect those who have surrendered unto me. Prabhupada's purport. Maya is very strong. In the name of philanthropy, altruism, and communism, people are feeling compassion for suffering humanity throughout the world. Philanthropists and altruists do not realize it, that it is impossible to improve people's material conditions. Material conditions are already established by the superior administration according to one's karma. They cannot be changed. The only benefit we can render to suffering beings is to try to raise them to spiritual consciousness. Material comforts cannot be increased or decreased. It is therefore said in Srimad Bhagavatam, Talabhyate Dukavara Nyatra Sukham. As far as material happiness is concerned, that comes without effort, just as tribulations come without effort. Material happiness and pain can be attained without endeavor. One should not bother for material activities. If one is at all sympathetic or able to do good to others, he should endeavor to raise people to Krishna consciousness. In this way, everyone advances spiritually by the grace of the Lord. For our instruction, Bharat Maharaj acted in such a way. So how could this happen to Bharat Maharaj? That question is generally asked. He was on the platform prior to love of God. That means just about bhava. Bhava bhakti, very exalted, yet he fell down. How can one fall down? So here is the answer. For our instruction, Bharat Maharaj acted in such a way. There is some pastime of the Lord going on. We should be very careful not to be misled by so-called welfare activities conducted in bodily terms. One should not give up his interest in attaining the favor of Lord Vishnu at any cost. Generally, people do not know this, or they forget it. Consequently, they sacrifice their original interest, the attainment of Vishnu's favor, and engage in philanthropic activities for bodily comforts. So Bharat Maharaj used to take the deer with him when he entered the forest. He used to keep that association everywhere. Prabhupada's purport to 12. How Bharat Maharaj increased his affection for the deer is described herein. Even such an exalted personality as Bharat Maharaj, who had attained loving affection for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, fell down from his position due to his affection for some animal. Consequently, as it will be seen, he had to accept the body of a deer in his next life. Since this was the case with Bharat Maharaj, what can be said of those who are not advanced in spiritual life, but who become attached to cats and dogs? Due to their affection for their cats and dogs, they have to take the same bodily form in the next life, unless they clearly increase their affection and love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Unless we increase our faith in the Supreme Lord, we shall be attracted by to so many other things. That is the cause of our material bondage. Next, he used to take care of the animal, he used to fondle it. Maharaj Bharat left his home, children, wife, kingdom, and everything else to advance his spiritual life in the forest. But again, he fell victim to material affection due to his attachment to an insignificant pet deer. What then was the use of his renouncing his family? One who is serious in advancing his spiritual life should be very cautious not to become attached to anything but Krishna. Sometimes, in order to preach, we have to accept many material activities, but we should remember that everything is for Krishna. If we remember this, there is no chance of our being victimized by material activities. Next purport. Because his attraction for the deer was so intense, Bharat Maharaj could not concentrate upon worshipping the Lord or performing his ritualistic ceremonies. Even though he was engaged in worshipping the deity, his mind was restless due to his inordinate affection. While trying to meditate, he would simply think of the deer, wondering where it had gone. In other words, if one's mind is distracted from worship, a mere show of worship will not be of any benefit. The fact that Bharat Maharaj had to get up at intervals to look for the deer was simply a sign that he had fallen down from the spiritual platform. Another short one. He was, when the deer had gone, he became so, he felt a great separation. Prabhupada's purport. If a poor man loses some money or gold, he at once becomes very agitated. This is sort of like getting your mind beaten with a stick and getting it chastised, or a broom or a shoe. again and again and again. Each purport is a different. If a poor man loses some money or gold, he at once becomes very agitated. Similarly, the mind of Maharaj Bharat would become agitated when he did not see the deer. This is an example of how our attachment can be transferred. If our attachment is transferred to the Lord's service, we progress. Srila Rupa Goswami prayed to the Lord that he would be as naturally attracted to the Lord's service as young men and young women are naturally attracted to each other. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited such attachment to the Lord when he jumped into the ocean or cried at night in separation. However, if our attachment is diverted to material things instead of to the Lord, we will fall down from the spiritual platform. So Bharat Maharaj was criticizing himself that the deer, it was due to his fault that the deer has left. Prabhupada's purport. Bharat Maharaj was very noble and exalted, and therefore when the deer was absent from him, he thought himself unworthy to give it protection. Due to his attachment for the animal, he thought that the animal was as noble and as exalted as he himself was. According to the logic of Atmavan Manyate Jagat, everyone thinks of others according to his own position. Therefore, Maharaj Bharat felt that the deer had left him due to his negligence, and that due to the animal's noble heart, it would again return. Bharat Maharaj says, "When will I see my deer again eating soft grass?" Prabhupada's purport. Maharaj Bharat thought that the animal was disappointed in his protection and had left him for the protection of a demigod. Regardless, he ardently desired to see the animal again within his ashram, eating the soft grass and not fearing tigers and other animals. Maharaj Bharata could think only of the deer and how the animal could be protected from all kinds of inauspicious things. From the materialistic point of view, such kind thoughts may be very laudable, but from the spiritual point of view, the king was actually falling from his exalted spiritual position and unnecessarily becoming unattached to an animal, thus degrading himself. He would have to accept an animal body. We'll read a small section of when death was approaching Bharat Maharaj, a small section of the purport to 26. Prabhupada explains that when one has, we'll read from the beginning. As it will be seen in later verses, Bharat Maharaj at the time of death would be forced to accept the body of a deer due to his attraction for the deer. In this regard, a question may be raised. How can a devotee be affected by his past misconduct and vicious activities? In Brahma Samhita, it is said, "Karmani nirdahati kintu tabhakti bhajam." For those engaged in devotional service, bhakti bhajana, the results of past deeds, are indemnified. According to this, Bharat Maharaj could not be punished for his past misdeeds. The conclusion must be that Maharaj Bharata purposefully became over-addicted to the deer and neglected his spiritual advancement. To immediately rectify his mistake, for a short time he was awarded the body of a deer. This was just to increase his desire for mature devotional service. Although Bharat Maharaj was awarded the body of an animal, he did not forget what had previously happened due to his purposeful mistake. He was very anxious to get out of his deer body, and this indicates that his affection for devotional service was intensified, so much so that he was quickly to attain perfection in a brahmana body in his next birth. Such punishment is for only a short period, and it was not due to past karma. It may appear to be due to past karma, but it is offered to rectify the devotee and bring him to pure devotional service. So it is offered by whom? It is offered by Krishna. Prabhupada also explains, it is proved herein, this is in 27, that due to the grace of the Supreme Lord, a devotee is never vanquished. Due to his willful neglect of devotional service, a devotee may be punished for a short time. So there is some free will in there that he chose. There's a point of free will. Even if we have a particular nature and we have tendencies, there's a point of free will. And if we use our free will properly, one result comes. And if we use it improperly, another result comes. But yet, even if we make a mistake, Prabhupada explains here, due to the grace of the Supreme Lord, a devotee is never vanquished. Due to his willful neglect of devotional service, a devotee may be punished for a short time, but he again revives his devotional service and returns home back to Godhead. And that punishment is to increase the desire in the heart. And then the purport to 29. After Bharat Maharaj was in the body of a deer, he was lamenting. And he said, due to his, purport says, due to his stringent execution of devotional service, what does stringent mean?
Strict.
Due to his strictly executed devotional service, Maharaj Bharata could remember the activities of his past life and how he was raised to the spiritual platform. Due to his foolishness, he became attached to an insignificant deer and thus fell down and had to accept the body of a deer. This is significant for every devotee. If we misuse our position and think that we are fully engaged in devotional service and can do whatever we like, we have to suffer like Bharat Maharaj and be condemned to accept the type of body that impairs our devotional service. Only the human form is able to execute devotional service. But if we voluntarily give this up for sense gratification, we certainly have to be punished. This punishment is not exactly like that endured by an ordinary materialistic person. By the grace of the Supreme Lord, a devotee is punished in such a way that his eagerness to attain the lotus feet of Lord Vasudeva, Krishna, is increased. By his intense desire, he returns home in the next lifetime. Devotional service is very completely described here. Tad anusravana manana sankirtana aradhana anusmara anabiyogina. The constant hearing and chanting of the glories of the Lord is recommended in Bhagavad Gita. Satatam kirtiyantamam yatantas cha dridha vataha. Those who have taken to Krishna consciousness should be very careful that not a single moment is wasted and that not a single moment is spent without chanting and remembering the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His activities. By his own actions and by the actions of his devotees, Krishna teaches us how to become cautious in devotional service. Is the element of fear present in caution? Yes. So there are certain things that we should actually be fearful of. Off with her head. Don't cut off my fingers, Kalindi. Be a good girl. Don't cut off my finger in the temple. Krishna teaches us that we must be very careful in the discharge of our devotional service. If we want to keep our minds completely fixed without deviation, we must engage them in devotional service full time. Our mind. As far as the members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness are concerned, they have sacrificed everything to push on this Krishna Consciousness movement. Yet, They must take a lesson from the life of Bharata Maharaj to be very cautious and to see that not a single moment is wasted in frivolous talk, sleep, or voracious eating. Eating is not prohibited, but if we eat voraciously, we shall certainly sleep more than required. Sense gratification ensues, and we may be degraded to a lower life form. In that way, our spiritual progress may be checked, at least for the time being. The best course is to take the advice of Srila Rupa Goswami, avyarta kalavatvam, kalatvam. We should see that every moment of our lives is utilized for rendering of devotional service and nothing else. This is the secure position for one wanting to return home back to Godhead. And then in text 30, Prabhupada says, it is significant that Bharat Maharaj, by the grace of Vasudev, remembered his past life. He did not waste a moment. He returned to Palaha Ashram, to the village known as Shalagrama. Association is very meaningful. Therefore, ISKCON tries to perfect one who enters the society. The members of this society should always remember that the society is not like a free hotel. All the members should be very careful to execute their spiritual duties so that whoever comes will automatically become a devotee and will be able to return back to Godhead in this very life. Although Bharat Maharaj acquired the body of a deer, he again left his hearth and home, in this case the mountain Kalanjara. No one should be captivated by his birthplace and family. One should take shelter of the association of devotees and cultivate Krishna consciousness. And then the last purport. Holy places like Vrindavan, Haridwar, Prayag, and Jagannath Puri are especially meant for the execution of devotional service. Vrindavan specifically is the most exalted and preferred holy place for Vaishnava devotees of Lord Krishna who are aspiring to return back to Godhead, the Vaikuntha planets. There are many devotees in Vrindavan who regularly bathe in Yamuna, and this cleanses all the contamination of the material world. By constantly chanting and hearing the holy names and pastimes of the Supreme Lord, one certainly becomes purified and becomes a fit candidate for liberation. However, if one purposefully falls victim to sense gratification, he has to be punished, at least for one lifetime, like Bharat Maharaj. Thus, in the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 5th canto, 8th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Description of the Character of Bharat Maharaj. So, a very interesting story. Very interesting story. And then we will hear about Bharat Maharaj's next life, the life after he is in the body of a deer, his next life, and he takes his birth in a Brahmana family, and it is known as Jadabharat. And in this life, he will be very, very careful. Okay, thank you very much, Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? Yep.
Almost seems a contradiction when Prabhupada calls Bharat's foregings a purposeful mistake.
It means a misuse of free will. You're saying purposeful and mistake?
Yes. Like, you know, it's either it's on purpose or it was a mistake.
The purpose is there was something selfish in there, to satisfy something that by his spiritual advancement he shouldn't have done. There was a purpose, but it was a mistake. And I find this that in our life we come across situations. And one voice is saying, yeah, go ahead, do it. What the heck? Everyone else is doing it. And another voice is saying, no, this is not appropriate. You know, it'll hurt you. So, whichever one we take, there's a purpose to it. But there's a choice in there. And if we consciously choose to do the wrong thing against the higher advice, then we have to take the consequences of that. So in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says this, one should control the lower self by the higher self. But often the mind demands. Arjuna asks this question to Arjuna, what is it that forces us to do improper things even against our will? And Krishna answers, kama esha krodha esha rajaguna samudbhava. This is kama, this is lust, born of, that's transformed into ignorance, and it's born of rajagun, the mode of passion. Baladivana yoja, very powerful. So it is a choice that we make, and it's a mistake, and there's a purpose. Purposeful means a conscious choice. So at some point we use our free will, and after that point we may lose our free will on it. We're already down the road to some degree mentally.
He led a pretty saintly life, and he done it pretty well, didn't he, being Krishna conscious? I mean, only at the end he made a small mistake. It was just like an attachment to this deer. I mean, it just seems it makes the process look almost impossible. I mean,
what is the instruction that Prabhupada was giving us through this?
To always fix your mind on Krishna.
And yes, that's what we should do. But there was something other than that too. Is that we should be very cautious. His life and the mistake is an instruction to us to put some caution in our consciousness, because we tend to take the position of foolhardiness. Fools rush in where angels dare not tread. We tend to challenge Maya and flirt with Maya and play with Maya. And the point being that that's dangerous. So therefore these type of instructions are placed there to warn us, to shake a finger at us, to warn us to be careful. In Bharat Maharaj's case, practically speaking, actually speaking, it's a pastime. Krishna uses his dear devotees to teach us, and he has them do things to teach us so we don't make mistakes. But seriousness in Krishna consciousness is not easy to obtain. The straight and narrow path, it comes from advancement. Mati, it is called. Determination. And what is that that makes us lose our determination? It is petty, sense-gratificatory desires, basically. Selfish, even though we know so many times they won't make us happy, we want to play.
I just figured that when I and a lot of us get to the end of our life, even though we may be very well, our minds fixed on Krishna, surely there'll be so many attachments by friends we leave behind, and like moments that flash through your mind and all that stuff, you know, and I'm sure them attachments will be a lot stronger than what he had for the bit. But I know it's just a pastime.
So therefore, we should be careful and try to develop our love of Krishna and fix our minds upon Krishna, especially at the time, close to the time of our death. The last period of our life is therefore very important to hear and chant as much as possible, to become attracted to Krishna, and detached from all those things that are going to be forcibly ripped from us as when we're leaving this world. So if the comment is, it's too hard, it's not fair, but we put in our effort, Krishna will help But that doesn't give us the excuse to be lax. So these instructions are meant for us. They're not meant to say, oh Krishna, you should be lenient and help the devotee. That's Krishna's part. He doesn't need the instructions, but we need the instruction to be careful because we tend to be frivolous. Yes? I mean, not you only, it's all of us. We tend to take it for granted.
Yes. In text number 26, Sukadeva Goswami says, due to the fruitful results of his past deeds, he fell down from his supreme austerity. The Gopaya word was due to his purposeful mistake. Does it mean that in any case he will feel attraction?
That's the fruit of tendency.
Apart from the fruit. But he could.
If you take shelter of Krishna,
he could neglect that.
Transcend. Yes. He was advanced
it's
enough.
It's very, very difficult to understand because it seems like. If we get in.
Material.
Due to the karmic reaction,
yes.
Where then our free will?
Okay, but it's too late to discuss the issue of free will. But another time, it's a very subtle, difficult topic. Where does the free will of the living entity begin and end? How much free will do we actually have? I think it's quite small, but it is there. Huh?
It's very practical.
What's practical?
To know this.
Yeah. Yes.
Can we continue next week?
Sure. We can try. Any other questions? I wrote about it in the Bhagavad Gita overview book. So there's quite a bit on this topic. Ultimately, it's up to Krishna. Another way to look at it is that he may have chose incorrectly, but Krishna sanctioned his bad choice, otherwise it couldn't have happened.
Sometimes.
Yes? So why did Krishna sanction it? He wanted this done. Bhagavad Gita discusses free will in chapter 5. Who is the doer? And also in chapter 18, there are 5 factors in action. The living entity in his choice is one. Any other questions or comments? Because it's getting late. So next week, we can discuss that. And, maybe... We'll try to read chapters 9, 10, and 11 next week, too. So many things are not in our control. But if anything is in our control, it's how we react to things.
Attraction
isn't in our control. That's karma, but how we react to that attraction, there's more to our free will in that. And the more we are in the mode of goodness, the more we have free will. The more we are in the mode of ignorance, the less we have free will. The attractions are stronger in goodness, in ignorance, and passion. It's like the chains are lessened, lightened. In the mode of goodness, and we have some more maneuvering room. We have a little more free will. In the mode of ignorance, we're like this. Our freedom is curtailed, it is bound. So the more we're in the mode of goodness, we have free, the more the ropes are loosened. So we should try to cultivate the mode of goodness. That is one point. And then, what happens if we have a lot of karma, previous karma for ignorance and passion, what do we do? That means attractions and tendencies for those things will be very strong in us. Yes? But that doesn't mean we have to follow them. But trying to not follow those tendencies by our own power is almost impossible. But the more we take shelter of Krishna and call out Krishna's names, we can transcend this. But this is not an easy thing. But gradually, gradually, we have to come to that. We have to learn to take shelter of Krishna in all difficult circumstances and see those difficult circumstances as practice for death, the ultimate difficult circumstance.
I agree completely, but why should Shukadeva Goswami does here? He fell due to...
But Prabhupada's purport says almost the opposite.
Fell. Not like he's got attraction to Jiva, but he fell due to that.
I'm sorry, he fell
down
because of the attraction.
Because of his fruit.
But the fruit of, see, karma is stored in the in the form of desires. So this desire to give shelter to others is karma. And because of that desire, that tendency, which you can consider one of goodness, but it's, there's passion in it. A lot of passion, too. So because of that, it manifested as attachment. But it's karma. But Prabhupada says other things in the verse as well, in his purport. But yeah, it's due to the karma, which it manifests. The karma, he says that it's very interesting what he said. His karma manifests in the form, the desire manifests in the form of a deer. So we may, you can't avoid your karma. Say if there's a story, I've heard it two times already on the... It's an old story. This is the wildest story. This man used to fight with... they used to live in an apartment building. And this man living on like the seventh floor used to fight with his... wife. And he used to threaten her. And he would always pull out a gun. But he never would put bullets in the gun. And he'd say, "I'm going to kill you." And the son lived upstairs. And he wanted to kill himself. He was so depressed because he had no money. And then he had an idea. I'll put bullets in that gun, and then my wife, my father will kill my mother like that, and I'll get the insurance, and then I'll have the money. But then he got so he put a bullet in the gun. This is a true story. This is the wildest story. But then he got very depressed one day, and he decided to kill himself. But the police saw that he was going to jump out of the window. So the police saw that he was going to kill himself, so they put up a big net. So he couldn't do that. But he didn't care. So he jumped out of the window. And at the same time, his father picked up the gun. And he said to the mother, "I'm going to shoot you." And he didn't know there was any bullet in it. And he pulled the trigger. But the mother moved out of the way, and the bullet went out the window just at the time when the man was falling and killed him. There's some karma in that, yes. So desire, his desire took the form of the deer. So his death took the form of that bullet. Wherever you go, you take your karma with you. So it took the form, his karma manifested as that deer. But yet, there's a moment of choice in there. And that moment of choice, we can take shelter of Krishna, and Krishna can crush that karma if he so desires. Or he can manipulate it in his own way if he so desires. Or he can minimize it as he desires. Or he can use it to purify us. And that's generally, from my experience, what happens. Sometimes it seems like the whole roof is caving in. But then after we go through it, we can see some plan of Krishna's was executed through that. So was it the karma or was it the Krishna? Did Krishna cause the roof to cave in? Or was it our karma or what? So there's this, Krishna uses our karma to purify us, the devotee, and teaches the devotee how to call out to him. But it's not the karma itself, it's Krishna. But it's not Krishna only, because we're individuals and we have our fate. So Krishna minimizes. So when we learn how to see Krishna in everything, then jivati or mukti pade is a dayabak. That means we go back to Godhead, basically. Haribol. Where were you all this time? Yeah? How's Gopinath? I thought about him. Oh, yeah? Where did he go?
Disappeared.
Yeah.
When Tony said that story, then it reminded me of Bhagavati, when she was in India, and she was looking after a Giriraj, but the roof did fall in, but if she hadn't gone out to get some water for her Giriraj, she would have been killed. So the fact that she was serving Krishna actually saved her life.
Hallelujah. Okay. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Bharat Maharaj ki jai. Our needing of Krishna's mercy ki jai. Because we are weak. We need Krishna's mercy. On our own, we won't choose properly. We need Krishna's mercy. Yes? Yeah? You look tired. No? A little bit. Maybe it's the hat.